Hello, welcome to Pharma Marketing Talk. This is your host, Pharma Guy, also known as John Mack. And today my guest is Rob Doble, who's the CEO of Adherent Health. And we're going to be talking about pharma apps in general and specifically about the Mobile Health Library, which is a privacy-protected mobile app platform that his company built for education and support for patients and caregivers. Hi, Rob. Welcome to the show.
Hi, John. How are you today?
Very good. So why don't we start by letting people know a little bit about you, who you are.
It's a pleasure to be on your program, John, and thank you again for having me. At Adherent Health, we focus on, as you were saying, app-based engagement for what pharma clients need with patients, and that's often safety, that's often adherence, compliance, outcomes. How I ended up here, I was previously at Omnicom Group, where I was fortunate to lead the healthcare practice. And I say lead, not manage, because the agencies manage themselves. But I learned a lot over 11 years. And before that, 11 years in the client side of the pharmaceutical industry. So Adherent Health really seeks to satisfy the engagement needs, sometimes even on the clinical research side, for really all the power that mobile devices offer. But oftentimes it's complicated for pharma clients to figure out apps, given some of the complexities like privacy. But that's my introduction.
Why do you think pharma has some problems developing apps that are truly useful and used by patients?
Most apps that are developed by pharmaceutical companies are developed by highly qualified and talented people, except their talents generally are web-based talents or email and CRM-based talents. And it's not an easy space to figure things out in. When I mentioned the fact that MySpace didn't figure it out and Facebook did, people start to appreciate how difficult becoming successful in the marketing of apps, not just the building of them, and that's the difference. The talented people that build apps and market them, that's what pharma really needs to get engaged more to, I think.
Okay, so why don't we talk a little bit about the Mobile Health Library, which, as you describe it, it's a HIPAA privacy-protected mobile app platform built for, you know, to provide education and services and support to mostly patients and even healthcare professionals and caregivers.
It's you're correct in calling it a platform. That's the accurate way to describe what we have. And here's the simple answer to what Mobile Health Library is. Yes, it's privacy protected. You had mentioned that before. More important than that to pharma clients initially is that it allows the brand at a pharmaceutical client to put all of their compliant content in a library approach. Mobile Health Library is the name, where there's an app within the library for a medicine, and all the content comes from their medical, legal, and regulatory review, whether it's digital, analog, any type of content. And by doing that and making the app a little bit easier to find, not having to find an app in a sea of apps, but it's inside one Mobile Health Library app, the convenience for the patient really kicks in. And the outcomes, the adherence that you had mentioned, we have about 75 core tools, ranging from symptom trackers with validated tools to dosing reminders to integrated copay with tracking, that allows a client to support all the behaviors. Specialty pharmacy integration, Fitbit integration for that type of data collection, really the support for the behaviors that the medicine by itself can't provide, behaviors such as safe storage of medicine, which could be supported by a series of videos. Our system allows the client to take their content and marry it to tools that support that brand based on its label. And each app in our library is branded by the client to the brand name for use in a particular country. And the nice thing about it is it's a really efficient process. In really 6 to 8 weeks, the app is done, built, tested, and already in a package down to OPDP. So it's a time-saving process, too. And the tracking is all HIPAA-compliant, meaning that there's no personally identifiable information shared, but the client can see a robust set of coordinates and analytics on copay card redemption and patient-reported outcomes as two examples.
Okay, so I guess as I understand it, let's suppose I was a brand manager at a pharmaceutical company. I don't have to build the app myself or market it. You actually build the app for me using the tools of the mobile health library, and I supply the content, basically, and things like the reward cards, coupons, or whatever, the educational material, and so forth. Is that a good way of looking at it?
Yeah, if we were in a presentation to a client together, we'd probably take your words and put on the screen brand experience. It allows the client to orchestrate on a digital workbench the brand experience, including the delivery of messages at intervals, just like an email campaign. So we're a library. We don't have any content, but we support the pharmaceutical industry in a way that this system, which has been up for 3 years now, is preferred by patients 11 to 1, versus email, because they don't have to give their information to use it, and 22 to 1 over a standalone app built by a pharma company that honestly might be exactly the same as what's in the mobile health library, but the mobile health library is privacy protected, and that can mean a lot for certain people.
So you're sort of acting kind of as a firewall between the pharmaceutical company and the patient, for example, who may not trust the pharmaceutical company. It's you're the delivery platform. I guess that's how you would say it. And
Well, it's a great way to describe it. And for whatever reason, the pharmaceutical industry can't shake its reputation and data breaches by Target and retailers on privacy information doesn't help either. So lots of people are reluctant to join any program. So there's a natural disadvantage in this space already. What our system, I think, allows, independent of trust, but you're right, it allows for a win-win. The doctor can now recommend materials from the pharmaceutical company, which happens to a great degree in our system, by prescribing these apps to patients. The patient wins because they get everything that the pharmaceutical industry is offering, and that can mean a big difference for contracts with payers and so forth without having to give their personally identifiable information, but maybe sharing it in aggregate so the pharma company still gets all the knowledge they need to fine-tune and optimize the experience.
Okay. I think you mentioned to me previously that the apps also support patient outcomes and clinical research. Can you describe something you might be doing in that area?
It's a fast-moving area. Evidence-based medicine, patient-reported outcomes, I think it's the topic at every medical conference that I've seen. One of the challenges of doing clinical studies is just the cumbersome nature, the cost of clinical studies. We've recently been retained by a client where over the course of about 6 months, through a series of in-office visits, where a doctor uses the clinical study app for that office and a patient app that connects to that office at key intervals, the patient can complete validated patient-reported outcomes instrument requests that report back to a CRO, to a client directly on activities of daily living in a certain disease. And without getting into the diseases, we also have an innovation connected to that of Fitbit and Jawbone and the activity trackers. And the reason we're doing that is because of clinical research. There are 28 health conditions that mobility is either part of the diagnosis or part of the measurement of treatment. Diseases like RA, diseases like diabetes, where activity and getting your steps in every day can help the medicine work better. And our system will allow that kind of tracking later this summer as an example of the clinical research space that's growing fast.
What about continuing medical education for physicians and also some drugs that require, you know, extra safety information to be educated about for, you know, physician use?
Yeah.
Anything that you can talk about specifically related to that?
Well, safety is a hot topic. It's the topic, I think, in most companies, how to make sure patients understand and doctors understand the important safety information. In our first year, we tried out a technique where we give special treatment to the safety information in our system to make sure the user, doctor or patient, opens that first or opens it whenever it arrives. And that has worked to about 90-95%, making sure patients and doctors look at the medication guide, as an example, or really open up the ISI, not just close it and flick past it. So in terms of safety, if we get into our advertising materials, Mobile Health Library is a safe use and outcome support system. So it's actually our first name. It's reinforcing safe use because then you'll have more successes. On the CME side, we had a start with REMS, which is the education for physicians for certain medicines. We're doing one of those programs now. And we've actually been part of a recent grant submission where we can be part of a more convenient way for physicians to take and participate in CME programs, some of which can even include the collection of outcomes and physician reports.
Rob, you mentioned to me previously about a case study in the addiction medicine area. Can you discuss that a little bit with us?
Yep. We are now in a space supporting patients that are taking addiction medicines, getting off of really dangerous medicines onto something more safe and more managed. What we're really proud of is that we have incorporated every need that this client identified, which include four categories: affordability, where the copay is integrated; education, where there's video and print education on disease and on how to use the medicine; there is feedback in terms of dose tracking, which confirms the patient's taking the medicine, as well as feedback on symptoms of opiate addiction, which are part of the transition process being managed. And then finally, the fourth one we helped them with was the adherence. This medicine has a set dosing schedule, and that set dosing schedule is one of the tools that is configured into their patient app experience that actually only comes from the physician. It's not this is not an advertised service. This is a co-prescription with the medicine as it's being written.
That's interesting. Can you tell us a little bit more about how you distribute the app and what insights you have learned?
The mobile health library system, I think we've learned a lot. Right now, we have, I think we've just received our 13th commitment for an app in the library, a sponsored medicine. What we've seen is when they're integrated with the field force as a natural extension of the promise from the company to the doctor for the medicine, it's perfect, because the app then becomes a convenient way for the company to deliver the entire package of resource that representative is offering the office after they leave. So that's number one. In terms of how you deliver them, that has a lot to do with how they are received. Most apps aren't delivered that way. Our apps are always delivered that way. We can even deliver them through telemarketing, which is still a representative making a value detail on the medicine, not on the app. So what is it? It's an extension of the medicine is what it is. It promotes the behavior that's in the labeling. This isn't another tactic. This isn't an app off to the left or the right. This is core to the central offer of the medicine. When that's connected in most companies through the field force, it's not an app, it's a service. And that's, I think, our biggest insight. And the convenience that goes along with it, where it's only one app that the clinician has to use. We have multiple oncology brands. We have multiple epilepsy brands. We have a growing number of specialty medicine brands that represent greater utility for that practitioner. They only have to do one app service for multiple meds. So I think that's the insight. The insight is it core to your strategy, or is it literally a marketing excellence project that's more academic than central to the core resource of the field force? And our learning is that if you plug it into the field force, not as something separate to promote, but as a way to promote safety and adherence for the medicine, you'll be surprised at what happens.
Well, the field force is very, they're not brand agnostic. They want to see their brands out there. Is your app more of a, you know, generic in terms of any product can be plugged in there? And would there be competing products that, you know, sales reps might feel queasy about recommending?
This is America, the land of opportunity, right? If the brand experience for a medicine is unique, and most of them are, then their app experience within Mobile Health Library will be unique. So we have a common structure and a common set of tools. One client in the same space may want to use two of those tools. Another client may say, wow, I have an interesting approach on connecting four of them. And each one is a distinct separate engagement, where most of our partnerships are with agencies where they are expert on our system, supporting their client on strategies for those brands. And of course, if there's a competing brand in Mobile Health Library, that might encourage a client to also put their resources in Mobile Health Library. The nice thing about the way our system works is it's not a very high cost proposition to it's more of a small media spend to support your medicines and Mobile Health Library. So we have clients that do both, actually.
Okay, yeah, I guess that makes sense. Well, Rob, we're, you know, about near the end. I usually ask guests if they have anything to say in closing that we might have missed. Now's your chance to do that.
Well, I'd just like to pay some props back to you, John. I think that you, for this industry, represent a bit of truth serum, where you have no vested interest. You stand up and ask the question that oftentimes is on the audience mind, but rarely expressed. So. I wanted to thank you for being the pharma guy and continuing to keep us all honest. And I think in closing, really, I think focused in the mobile direction is part of what you've been doing lately. There is an enormous set of architecture in everybody's hands now. Bankers have figured out to take advantage of it. Chat services have figured out to take how to take advantage of it. And they don't do it one company at a time. They usually do it on some type of an enterprise system, like a Facebook, like a LinkedIn. And that's what we represent. And there will be others that do it similar to us. But for now, we're the simplest way to get into the real scale engagement space to support safe use and outcomes for prescription and medicines and certain medical devices.
Well, thanks for those kind words. But why don't we just make sure people know how they can contact you for more information?
Oh, sure, John. Yeah. If you want to just take a look at Mobile Health Library, you can download it. It's in Android. It's in Kindle Fire Android. It's also in iOS. You can go to the website, mobilehealthlibrary.com, to learn more about the detail. And for client-side discussion, Adherent Health is the sole licensor of the system, and our website is adherenthealth.com, and that's where you can see contact information for myself and our Director of Regulatory Affairs, Dr. Peter Pitts.
Okay. Well, Rob, thanks very much for being a guest. So this is Pharma Guy saying bye. Goodbye, Rob. Thanks very much.
Thank you, John. Have a great day.